the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter.
Yes.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed. I think everyone had a good Easter, huh?
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yes.
Grandkids, for those of us who have them, usually show up.
Yeah.
And they did, and we're enjoying them still.
We sugared them up, sent them home.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So. Ours won't leave till today.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Anyway, we're so glad that you did have a happy Easter, and you're with us this morning. And we always begin our day with prayer, today being the feast day of St. Hugh. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the saints and their deeds, which are an inspiration to all of us. We thank you for St. Hugh and his service to the Church. May he guide us in our efforts to help others and carry out your will on earth. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Also, today's April Fool's Day, so if anyone tells you something a little bit weird, just think before you respond and be like, is it April Fool's? Mm-hmm, it is. Mm-hmm. So it might not be true. Anyway, we have events in our listening area. We will give you detail. I just wish someone would warn me and be like, it's April Fool's, Gabby. No, it's not true.
That's
not
true. Then it wouldn't be fooling you.
You know? There you go. At 10 after, we have events in our listening area. We will give you details about. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Lonnie Thibodeau joins us. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. Today, he's going to be giving us an inside peek on the Easter edition of the Bayou Catholic Magazine. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's the co-author of many books, including Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And we're going to be talking about raising Catholic teens in today's world. It's always a fun conversation with Alan, and we always learn something new. And in 48 minutes, Deacon Richard Eason joins us. He's a lawyer and deacon in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he's going to be talking about his new book called Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. So looking forward to a great show today with some wonderful guests. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What do you have for us?
Well, it's going to be cold and rainy for the next 48 hours.
Snow. April Fools. Snow eye here, yeah.
Oh, boy. That's not what I saw, Sonny.
I'm glad you got that out your system.
Well, so good. Hey, it's not over yet. It's just beginning, folks. It's going to be a nice day with plenty of clouds, but it won't be any rain in the forecast. That's the good news. It will be a little windy. Winds are out of the south right now at about 10 to 20, so a good warm southerly breeze to go with our high of 86, low of 70. And as I said, no rain. Tomorrow, there's a 20% chance of rain, but I don't think many of us are going to get wet because of it. And with that being said, it's going to be a beautiful week. Easter week is just going to be plum gorgeous, so get out and enjoy it. Tomorrow will be in the 80s, but then after that, it'll drop down into the 70s all the way through the weekend. Temperatures in and around the area right now, Covington, 69 degrees. Everyone else in their low 70s, like Biloxi, it's 70 degrees, and Houma Thibodeau, 72, 71 degrees in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And Gabby, there you go. There's your forecast, and I'm not fooling.
Yeah, he is.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, well, don't go too far. Saint of the Day is coming up in a little bit, but right now, Gospel and Reflection is right around the corner with some events on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm.
blessed feast of the Easter Octave to you. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Easter Monday Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 28. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The astounding reality that Jesus rose from the dead is repeatedly affirmed by the testimony of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and John record that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. In today's gospel, along with Mark and Luke, Jesus appeared to several female disciples. Luke, John, and Paul in 1 Corinthians recount our Lord's appearing to Simon Peter. John tells us that Jesus appeared to James, John, and Nathanael. Matthew, Mark, and John report that Jesus appeared to the 11 apostles as a group. Luke and Mark record that Jesus appeared to Cleophas and an unnamed disciple. Acts records our Lord's appearance to the apostles before he ascended to the Father. St. Paul also affirms that Jesus appeared to James, the brother of Jesus, and 500 brothers at one time. And then St. Paul adds, "Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me." The credibility of these claims of the resurrection stands on their unwavering witness in the face of poverty, hardships, persecution, and martyrdom. The importance of the resurrection is clearly stated by St. Paul. "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been risen. If Christ has not been risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Now, as for the silly deception concocted by the chief priests, who would believe the story that the cowardly apostles who did not fight to protect Jesus from death risked their own deaths to steal his body? How was it possible to roll back the great stone from the entrance of Jesus' tomb without waking the guards? Who could take seriously the report of the soldiers who claimed that they were asleep when the theft was made? Well, was their report a dream report? No, it was simply a lie prompted by Satan, the father of lies. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Right on, Jimmy. We can't be fooled by that devil. I'm all for it, even if it is April Fool's Day. And thank you, Father Chris, for reading the gospel. And we've got some events for you. Dave's getting a kick out of
it. I am enjoying you today.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you come back from Easter.
That's right. This is his patron saint.
Oh, I mean, I'm all aglow. And anyway, you know, each month, the Ladies Book Club hosts an event over at Our Lady of Hope Catholic Retreat Center in Chattawa. Well, they're doing it again. The date is going to be May 7th. Now, I know a lot of you ladies out there keep saying, "Boy, give us a little more heads up when the event's taking place. We'd like to attend." So here you go, May 7th. We're still over a month away. The speaker, Father David Dawson, and his topic will be Five Stones, Our Lady of Medjugorje, Path to Holiness. It's going to have a continental breakfast. This is a Tuesday morning continental breakfast. Check-in begins at 8. The book club begins at 9, and it'll go till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A little special bonus for you gals who want to get there and do a little sleepover, because you know you all like to do that. On Monday, May 6th, you can sleep over the night before, be there and rise and shine. Don't have to rush to get your makeup on and all that good stuff. And they'll supply the bedding, the towels, and the meal. So it's a wonderful treat. $105 for the combo. If you just want to show up on May 7th for the talk and presentation, it's $55. Again, we have all this info for you at ccmedia.live.
All right. Make plans to attend the third annual Messengers of Hope Gala to support St. Jared Majella Catholic School. That's in Baton Rouge. Sunday, April 7th. That's at White Oak Estate and Gardens. Chef John Foltz will be preparing a fantastic dinner. There'll be a social along with silent and live auctions, and all proceeds go to supporting necessary improvements at St. Jared Catholic School. And there'll be a social beginning at 4:45 with dinner at 6. Tickets are $200 a person. For more information, go to ccmedia.live.
Wonderful. Well, today, women face new challenges amidst the busyness of life and the struggle to authentically hear God's voice, while the Cynical on the Lake invites you to a day of prayer that will help you to listen to God with hearts that are open and be filled with grace. April 10th and April 24th are the next 2 days of prayer. It's a $30 registration. I know that is coming up. CCmedia.live is where you can go to find out more information. If your schedule is open, maybe consider attending. So like I said, CCmedia.live is where you can go to find out information on these two retreats.
Very good. And the USCCB every month puts out a prayer guide. Well, it just so happens that the prayer guide includes Divine Mercy Sunday and some things we may want to do leading up to that this coming Sunday, like prayer the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock for the intentions of healing for all suffering from involvement in abortion. And as you know, Jesus spoke to St. Faustina, and maybe reflect on those talks. Open up the book of St. Faustina and pick some readings to read. And last but not least, offer some sacrifice or prayer for those who you feel called to pray for this month. So those are the intentions and suggestions by the USCCB for April Prayer Guide. Okay, don't go too far. We're coming back with more on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 1st. Today we celebrate Saint Hugh of Grenoble. Today's saint could be a patron for those of us who feel so overwhelmed by all the problems in the world that we don't know where to begin. Hugh, who served as a bishop in France for 52 years, had his work cut out for him from the start. Corruption seemed to loom in every direction. The buying and selling of church offices, violations of clerical celibacy, lay control of church property, religious indifference and/or ignorance. After serving as bishop for 2 years, he had had his fill. He tried disappearing to a monastery, but the Pope called him back to continue the work of reform. Ironically, Hugh was reasonably effective in the role of reformer, surely because of his devotion to the church, but also because of his strong character. In conflicts between church and state, he was an unflinching defender of the church. He fearlessly supported the papacy. He was eloquent as a preacher. He restored his own cathedral, made civic improvements in the town, and weathered a brief exile. Hugh died in 1132 and was canonized 2 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collada, Gabby Smith, and right now we're joined with Lonnie Thibodeau. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations with the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. Hey, good morning, Lonnie.
Well, good morning, David. Happy Easter to all of you.
Happy Easter to you, too. That's right. So let's hit the ground running because you have an Easter edition of the Bayou Catholic Magazine.
Yes, we do.
And you're going to start off. Now, look, I can never... It's Father Simon Peter. His last name is Engerate. Is that how you say that?
Actually, the emphasis is on the I, so it's Engerate.
Engerate.
The way it's actually pronounced. Uh-huh.
I just call him Father Simon Peter. I've always done that, you know.
We all do.
And so he has a column?
Yes. Okay. His column is on page 5 in the new issue of the magazine, and the name of the column is Our Hope Redeemed, and it's really a simple message, and it's the obvious message of literally today, you know, talking about the apostles who, you know, for 3 years they're following Jesus and watching and witnessing the miracles and everything, and then after 3 years, you know, their whole world is shattered, you know, because of the events of Good Friday. Yet, on Easter morning, and I love how he says this, that on Easter morning, the most powerful message in all of human history took place. I mean, is he wrong?
Yeah, right.
He is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
That is the resurrection story of Easter. And I love how he says it, the most powerful message in all of human history.
Yes.
And the significance of this column is obviously the timing of Easter. It is the Easter issue of the Bayou Catholic. But what Father Simon Peter did is he kind of paralleled that story with the story of us in our diocese, you know, a little over 2 months ago, where we have our bishop, our beloved Bishop Dorsonville, and then here's our shock when we lose him suddenly and tragically, and then we have to deal with. So, yeah, there are some interesting parallels, you must admit, in the two stories, and that's what his column is about.
Yeah, you have the Diocese of Home of Thibodeau going through its own personal passion there, and I guess y'all are waiting on your resurrection. But there's hope, and there's always hope. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Okay, so you have something about a Nichols volleyball player, Alicia Wish. Well, you've got some difficult words in here for me. Wishkemper.
I know. I'm sorry to do it to you with this issue, Dave. But yes, on page 13 of the magazine, it's our column called Living Liturgically. And Alicia Wishkemper is not from this area. She's a sophomore at Nichols, got a volleyball scholarship, and came to Nichols. And what the story about is a conversion story.
Okay.
What happened is she actually despised the Catholic faith.
Really?
Didn't like it. She was not Catholic, and two events happened. One is in February of 2022, her younger sister was almost killed in an accident. She wound up surviving, you know, thank the dear Lord.
Yeah.
And also at the same time, Alicia's boyfriend was a pretty good Catholic and was going to Mass every Sunday and trying to drag her along with him. And over time, those two things kind of came together. The sister recovering from near death, the nagging of the boyfriend.
Yes.
And so how does this story all end? Great story in the Bayou Catholic, but the great story ends this past weekend when she was brought into the Catholic faith through the sacrament of initiation this Saturday. So it's a great, great story.
Yes.
It's like I said, page 13 in the magazine.
I love conversion stories. I just love them. So I am really looking forward to that.
Conversion corner.
Yeah, we're going to have her on. That would be great.
Sure.
I love the stories. I just think they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then now you've got another column on practical prayer. Roxanne Reed. I can say Reed. Talk about that.
Yeah, Roxanne is the choir director at St. Luke the Evangelist in Thibodeau.
Uh-huh.
It's right off of Canal Boulevard. If people know where our St. Joseph Co-Cathedral is, it's a smaller church. It's pretty close to the Co-Cathedral. She's been choir director there for 30, she's actually been a member of the choir for 37 years, but she's been the director since 1990. And again, you know, she begins with Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And for people who have never heard the St. Luke choir, as well as St. Lucy's choir in Houma, sometimes they combine forces.
Really?
They were the choir who sang not only at Bishop's funeral for a bit, they also brought the house down at the 1 year ago at Bishop's installation. He wanted beautiful, moving music, and it ended right after communion and everything, right before the closing prayer. Those choirs came together and brought that cathedral down. And we have just heard, a year later, we're still hearing about the power you know, of that Catholic gospel choir mm-hmm. from St. Luke and Thibodeau and St. Lucy and Homa. So anyway, great, great story about Roxanne. So, you know, in the magazine.
So these choirs were combined for the funeral mass as well. Is that what you're saying? The two choirs,
right?
And yeah, because that was amazing.
They've combined for other reasons. I mm-hmm. mean, during the year, it's not a very unusual situation, but they certainly came together
right.
For Bishop's installation. And Bishop always talked about just the beauty and the power, you know, of that combined choir at his installation.
Oh, I'm here to tell you, they did sound great. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have a Life with Christ column featuring the newly mm-hmm. formed Pontifical Altar Server Group.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me tell you, there's a great story. I'm gonna tell it to you quickly. A great story behind the story. About this story, in the last year, a lot of it started because of Bishop's installation a year ago. We have formed what's known as the liturgical altar servers, which are basically more high school young men
uh-huh.
who, because a lot of times our big liturgical celebrations like Chrism Mass that yeah. we had on just last week on Holy Thursday,
right.
sometimes your seminarians or maybe not all your seminarians are available to serve. So they formed this group of these young men, and what wound up happening, for instance, at the Chrism Mass last week, we had four seminarians and we had four of these liturgical altar servers. So anyway,
yeah.
in the story, these three young men that are featured, Evan Adams, who's a junior at Vanderbilt and Homa, and Michael Robichaux and Jackson Taylor, who are both seniors at E.D. White,
mm-hmm.
are featured. But let me tell you the story that's not in the story, which I think is great.
All right.
And it happened at Bishop's funeral. 2 months ago at Bishop's funeral, me handling the media, and we had a number of media assembled there. As soon as the funeral and the burial were complete, and you were there, David, you
yep.
remember, and we had mm-hmm. buried Bishop outside.
Right.
As soon as it was over, the first media representative, I know this is coming, they walk up to you, hey, Lonnie, can you get me an interview with whomever?
Yeah.
Remember, we had two cardinals, 15 archbishops and bishops,
right.
and over 100 clergy there.
Yeah.
So you know they're going to ask for me to grab people for them to interview.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was the first person that the media wanted to interview? One of these liturgical altar servers. And the reason why is this reporter, who is not Catholic, by the way,
mm-hmm.
was so impressed by the reverence and the emotion that this young man was showing during that funeral.
Right.
And it was Michael Robichaux from E.D. White.
Yeah.
How cool was that?
That is,
you know,
something.
Not a cardinal. He wanted a 16-year-old altar server to interview.
I see.
You know,
yeah.
a great story.
I mean, I love that. And I did get to witness, some altar servers, you know, through the Triduum. And it is amazing, these young men, how they hold their hands or how they, you know, how they're very, the precise movements, but the reverence is just beautiful. And that really adds to the liturgy. So, wow, that is
right.
awesome. Great. And then you have some pictures from Bishop Dorsonville's funeral.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, starting, I think, on page 52 in the magazine in the new Easter issue. Yeah, a lot of great, great pictures.
I bet.
You know, from that funeral. And,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's still a day that, try to shake off the cobwebs of what
exactly.
happened, but it was so beautiful.
But it was only a few months ago. That's what's kind of hard to wrap your head
yeah.
around. Just a few months ago. I know. It's just amazing. And then you've got the history and the meaning of the blessing of the fleet, which I think is another thing that I dearly love because it's so unique to South Louisiana. Talk about that.
Oh, us Cajuns,
we,
you know us. We're
we
gonna,
bless
we're
everything.
Find something
we,
to celebrate. And here it is on page 76 in the magazine. And basically, it's just the history and the meaning of the blessing of the fleet, which is usually associated more specifically with the shrimp fleets, but not necessarily. So what the story about is going back, you know, of course, the ritual, if you will, it was brought to America by Catholic immigrants, you know, mostly from Europe. And we just kind of talk about all the various locations or little communities down here, Golden Meadows, Cario, Chauvin, Dulac,
right.
Grand Isle, Montague, Morgan City, Pontchartrain, where we did do, and in some cases still do, the blessing of the fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they don't all necessarily do it on the same day, same time, but most of them are doing it this coming weekend.
Okay.
This Sunday. So that's kind of good timing that we're talking about it when we're talking about it.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, Lonnie, where can we get an issue? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Damien.
One of the things I love about your issue is some of the regular topics like the saints and the virtues. You hone in on that as well. I think that helps people with their spiritual life.
It really does.
It is. There's been a revamp of the magazine. We talked a little bit about it, you know, a couple months ago. But yeah, as part of that revamp, Damien, we're, you know, there's these regular, not necessarily columns, but yeah, sections of the magazine where we get into those kind of things, spotlighting saints or whatever. So it's beautiful, beautiful magazine, beautiful cover.
It is.
For this Easter issue. But for people who want to get it, two ways you can do it. One would be any one of our 39 church parishes. If you happen to be there, they're in racks in the back of the church.
Great.
Or go to htdiocese.org, click on Bayou Catholic, or go directly to bayoucatholic.org.
Great.
And just click on recent or current issue.
Awesome.
And that's where you'll get it.
Thank you, Lonnie Thibodeau. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right.
Okay, thank you, guys.
We come back. Alan Migliorato is going to join Damien 30 past the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back. Happy Monday, everyone. Happy Easter week to you. It's 35 after the hour. Kind of up. Get going. And in the meantime, while you're listening and driving to work, one of the things we always talk about with Big Alan Migliorato on Monday mornings are teens. And today, raising teens. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, is this the best way to get results as a parent? Alan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Easter. Hope your Easter was blessed.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
How about you?
That's awesome. Yeah, oh, we had a great Easter. Yeah, I went to the, I did the vigil mass, and then I went next morning at 10 o'clock. I really can't really get enough of the Easter masses, or any mass, but I mean, I really love the vigil mass.
Nice.
It's such a beautiful thing. We had 31 people baptized. It was,
wow.
It was,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. How long did that last?
Awesome. Yeah. 4 hours.
I bet.
My wife was saying.
My goodness.
Every year when all the family gets together, one of the first topics is, how long was your vigil mass?
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to know how long. So
4 hours. Well, that's beautiful, though. Yeah.
Well, we got a new pastor, and so I was helping clean up. We had, you know, the little votive candles afterwards. I was helping pick up in the pews, and he goes, what'd you think? I said, well, happy Easter. I mean, that was a record setter. I said, it's almost Advent now.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. He's like, all right, Alan, good night. I was like, good night.
Yeah, you could add a midnight mass. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
No, so our topic, the do as I say, not as I do. Think when you were kids, like when – it was the most frustrating thing for your parents to tell you, do this. And you're like, well, Mom, you don't do it. Or Dad, you don't do that. You know, and of course you don't say that to them because you don't want to get knocked out. But you're looking at them and going, you know, I don't see them, you know, doing this kind of thing. So maybe it's something I can do when I get older. Like, well, don't drink and don't smoke. And well, you see your parents doing this. You're like, okay, well, it's an adult thing. So then you're okay. Well, great. I can't wait till I'm 18, so I can do all the things that I'm not supposed to do when I, when I'm a kid. And it can be a damaging thing. We have to work on, as parents, I think, intentional parenting. Right. Just like we have to be intentional disciples of Christ, we have to be intentional leaders for our families. And one thing I would always tell teams when I would coach teams is like, it's great to get the applause when you shoot, you know, you make a three pointer. It's great to, you know, it's great to get those people telling you a great game afterward. But it's also, it means more when no one's watching. It's how you get there. Right. So parents, not just do what I say when my kids are watching, but you have to really walk that life. And being a parent is such a gift from God, right? And not everybody has that blessing. And a lot of people want it and don't have it, right? And so we take it for granted sometimes.
Right.
We get angry with our kids, or we're like, oh, it's such a pain, you know? And then you're going to miss those moments when they get older and wonder why your kids aren't around, you know, to want to take care of you later.
So
doing as I do is such an important thing, creating those patterns for our kids to learn.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes parents want their kids to be almost perfect. And even though they're, you know, we're able to do as best we can, they're not going to be perfect. And that sometimes, I think, is where the rub gets between the teen especially and the parent.
Well, the parents also have to understand they're not perfect either.
No, exactly. And usually your teen is going to emulate you as a parent in some cases.
Exactly. Right. But it doesn't mean we don't step it up. Right. Mm-hmm. But think about the way that kids learn from like 0 to 5 years of age. Right. They're watching. Kids can see before they can speak or before they can really understand what they're hearing. So they're watching our behaviors and they're trying to emulate what we do. So it's like, you know, you see, I remember I would walk by this little knickknack we had in my house. And it would the wind from my body would knock this thing off the shelf. It was like a constant thing. And so I didn't realize my daughter was like directly behind me, and she was probably like 3 years old, and I said a word that I shouldn't have said and picked it up, and she repeated it, and I was like, oh my gosh, where did you come from? You know, like, Lord, you gotta put a bell around this kid.
Yeah.
And then my wife, of course, she looks at me, and she's like, of course. She goes, uh-huh. Well, that should teach you a lesson. And it did, you know, I said, well, I got to stop saying what I said. And, you know, it's a process. It's transitional. We're not perfect. We're not going to click a switch when we become parents and be the perfect image of everything that we want to be. But it doesn't mean we don't keep trying.
Right.
So like weeding out our garden, taking out, okay, I shouldn't be swearing in front of my kids. I shouldn't be, you know, or maybe I shouldn't be swearing at all. You know, and then it should grow into that.
Well, and
I shouldn't be.
It creates good habits for the parent, and when they think about it, and you could you check your pride and you eat a little humble pie at the same time.
Well, think about the way that God watches us as a parent, right? He's hoping the same thing for us. He's like, look, my son came to earth and lived the perfect life. That's what I want you to live. And it was a do as I do sort of thing.
Yeah.
And if we do as Christ did, we can really do those mountain moving moments with our faith. And just a little bit of faith grows, right? It's a mustard seed, but it doesn't mean that it stays as a seed. It grows. So like, that's what we have to keep telling ourselves is like, we're not perfect as parents, but it doesn't mean that we settle for anything less than that. We just keep trying and keep growing. That's the beauty of going to reconciliation and going to, you know, getting our confession with our priest and saying, here's what I'm struggling with. And I'm not perfect, you know, and listening to what he tells us and absorbing that forgiveness. So that's one thing we can do as I do when it comes to our families, bring our kids to confession more.
Yeah.
I think that's such a beautiful thing. It shows that we're not perfect. I need to go too, you know,
and I'm
going to show my kids that I go because I'm not perfect. And that's a great example for our children.
Yeah. If you didn't do it for Easter, at least do it for Divine Mercy Sunday, right?
I like to go not superfluously. I try not to go like weekly, but because I am pretty close to perfect, I try to go maybe once every month or so, you know, and I always invite, like, I'll invite my kids and I'll invite the teens at youth group. Hey, I'm going to go to confession this Saturday. Anybody want to go with me? You know, and you get a lot of no's, but it's like, look, I'm going to confession on Saturday. If anybody would like to go, I'm not telling you to go. I'm going. So like, I'm leading. And what's funny is I said this, oh my gosh, it was, we just did the diocese-wide confession for Lent, and I probably had like 30-something teens there, and I was like, look, I did tell them I'd take them to get ice cream after, but the whole point is, like, I bribed them, but it worked.
Yeah.
So I think that's a plus.
That's a lot of ice cream.
On the side of good.
So Alan, and we got just about a minute and a half, but what is the hang-up with confession, especially for our young people? Because, you know, they talk amongst each other. Why do they have trouble going to confession and confessing their sins to a priest?
Well, it's not just them. I think it's everyone.
It's everybody.
My wife doesn't like to go.
I know, but nobody likes to go. Then it goes back to what our topic started out as, do as I say, not as I do. And if the parents aren't going, then the teens are probably not going to go, right?
Right, and nobody wants to admit that they need work. No one, especially our generation, sometimes we don't want to admit that we need help or counseling or therapy. Like, we're perfect, we got it, we don't need anything. And only when it's like our prayers at night are like, please God, I'll just do whatever you want, just take this one thing away from me.
Yeah.
But we just gotta get real with ourselves, you know, and kind of through my fault, through, you know, my own grievous fault, admit that we're not perfect and humble ourselves before God, because it's pride that keeps us from going.
Yeah, well, we keep hearing that part of the situation is the fact that people are high anxiety, depressed, and even mental illness, and there wouldn't be so many psychiatrists and psychologists if that wasn't true, right? So the bottom line is confession is definitely an opportunity to get some good counseling. And I definitely recommend it for everyone. And even if you can't go, you know, every week or even once a month, try to do your best to go at least once a quarter. But it's up to you as an individual. And I know I'm like you, Alan. I got to go at least once a month because the sins pile up. And I got to get them off my chest and out of my head if possible. Where do they go, though, if they want to learn more about Big Alan Migliorato and his many insights?
Oh, my gosh. Go to AdventureCatholic.com, and you can learn about all kinds of things that we do, not just my big insights.
All right. Well, Alan, thank you so much for being with us. We'll chat with you again next Monday. Have a great week, brother.
Okay, guys.
Take care.
God bless you all.
All right. Deacon Richard Eason with the Archdiocese of New Orleans is coming up next here on Wake Up. It's 15 before the top of the hour.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. Happy Easter. We're so glad that you're with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. And a few events that we did not touch on earlier on in the show is Saved in Hope. That's Women's New Life Clinic's annual dinner and gathering. Wednesday, May 8th is happening at the Drusilla Ballroom in Baton Rouge. 6 p.m. is a patron party. 7 p.m. is a dinner and keynote speaker with Dr. John Bruchalski. He was on Wake Up just a few weeks ago and had such a powerful story. You can actually go take a look at that story on our YouTube channel. It's quite inspiring. So definitely take a look. CCmedia.live is where you can go and find out more information. But Dave, he has such a, from an abortionist to now a pro-life advocate. Incredible.
It was just incredible talking about his lifestyle and how he lived as an abortionist. And it was just no big deal to him, but his conversion stories and what got to him. And it was all quite by accident, but he actually heard the voice of Mary talking to him inside, you know. And it was so powerful, and for him to go back and just say, we're changing things here at this clinic, or we're shutting it down, and it became a pro-life facility. And that's daring nowadays to do. That's because people aren't brave enough to do that. And but he's passionate. He has to be one of the best speakers I think I've ever heard. So I can't recommend that enough. I think it would be great.
Yes.
Also, there's a directed retreat at the Cynical on the Lake. That's June 28th. So you got plenty of time to prepare for that. It's June 28th through July 3rd. So it's sponsored by the Archdiocese of New Orleans, the Spiritual Center. And the cost for the 6 days is $750 a person. And that includes accommodations, all your meals, and your personal spiritual director. So it's a pretty good deal for 6 days. It's amazing. And I can only imagine. I imagine you're floating off the ground after a retreat like that.
Hopefully so. Or at least you really find out what your calling is.
My goodness.
And what God has in store for you.
Anyway, you can go to ccmedia.com. CCmedia.live for details on that. Go ahead, Damian. I'm sorry.
No. St. George Men's Club is having their annual golf tournament. That's coming up a week from today, Monday, April 8th at the Country Club of Louisiana. It's a three-man, not a four-man scramble. It's a shotgun start at 9:30, $225 entry fee per golfer, $675 for the team. There's going to be individual prizes, food, refreshments throughout the day, throughout the course, and it's really a great event, and it's all to go to help support the St. George Men's Club and all the events they do for that church parish in Baton Rouge. For more info, go to ccmedia.live.
So as somebody who, I don't golf because I'm blind as a bat, okay? What is a shotgun start? I mean, that just sounds dangerous.
They point the gun at you, and they say, okay, you hit the ball, boy.
At you.
No, see, I'm kidding. I'd be a dead man
everybody,
right now.
Everybody's tees up at the same time, and when the horn sounds, it's really not a shotgun, but when the horn sounds, everybody starts.
Is that it?
Yeah, that way everybody finishes at the same time.
Interesting. Okay.
Or
just curious about that.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now I've learned something.
Oh, me too.
There's no shotgun involved. Let me just say that.
This and so many events can be found on our website at ccmedia.live. And Damian, one of the things I did want to touch on, because we've been posting on our socials about this, we've been hearing spots about us about this, but the importance of underwriting for Catholic Community Media, you as our director of underwriting, it's important for local businesses to support their local Catholic radio station if they are a Catholic and practice in their faith, and so many businesses do. Talk about why businesses and business leaders should maybe consider supporting Catholic Community Media, especially during this time.
Well, one of the primary reasons is you're supporting our efforts to, again, bring the truth to individuals each and every day, whether they're in their car, they're at home, and it's our way of spreading God's word. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, though, you as a supporter of Catholic Community Radio, on top of that, you reap the rewards of our listeners coming and supporting your business. So it's a win-win situation for you as a supporter. So, yeah, you may feel like, and it's not very expensive. Let me just share that with you. If you ever want to look into it, give me a call here at the radio station. I'll be glad to break down everything for you. And we customize everyone's campaign for your needs. And that's the beauty. The beauty is you help us support our radio station, and we in turn do our work day in and day out. Keep shows like you hear on EWTN long after Wake Up is over. Mm-hmm. You know, you got John Ricardo, you've got Catholic Answers, not to mention the Mass and the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is important for this week in particular. And you could sponsor some of those programs as well if you so choose.
Well, I'm here to tell you that I get calls. That's right. I get calls here at the station, and someone will say, what's the name of that CPA again that supports you? Or what's the name of the veterinary clinic? Yep. Or what's the name? And I get calls, so people are listening. Service. And they want to know who supports Catholic radio, because it's their faith. They're supporting their faith, too. So it's all part of the mission. I just think it's neat that people are paying attention to who supports us.
And a lot of our supporters have been with us from the very beginning, because they've seen the benefits of being a sponsor and underwriter for Catholic Community Radio.
Right.
And I don't have to go down a litany of lists, but we have many, many sponsors, both in the New Orleans and Baton Rouge markets. So we could separate your campaign if you need, or you can do a combo where you can advertise, or in our case, you share your message with many in both markets if you want to do that.
Yes.
So, and again, our listening audience, when you think about it, reaches all the way from the home of Thibodaux area all the way to Mobile and beyond along the Gulf Coast. That's millions of Catholics that you're reaching out to each and every day with your message.
That's right. That's right. From Baton Rouge East.
Definitely.
So,
there you go.
That's a lot of
CCmedia.live. Yes, and also a lot of people ask, where can they go and watch reruns of Wake Up, or post an episode of Wake Up? You can actually do that from our YouTube channel. Just search Catholic Community Media on YouTube. All of our Wake Up shows are on there, also on our website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can go and you can download our free app as well. Catholic Community Media, we have audio, we have video, and also parts of the Mass as well. So plenty of ways for you to share it as well.
If you subscribe, you don't even have to go searching for it.
It just pops right up.
It pops up for you each day, just in case you missed an episode of whatever it is you like.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Well, guys, we've covered a lot of things today. And Damian, I think it's time to close out today's show. It's gone by quickly. And as we start this Easter Monday off, might as well end today's show on the right note.
St. Hugh of Grenoble will offer up a prayer for his intercession. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. In the midst of our confusing life these days, let us pray for the ability to rise above the fray and to see things in the light of faith, as did St. Hugh. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Tom Costanza joins us. He is the Executive Director of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. He is going to be talking about the upcoming Faithful Citizenship Day. Michael Acaldo with St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge has an update for us, and we're going to be talking about the Irish Christianity Eastern Roots History with a wonderful author, Connie Marshner. You definitely don't want to miss this. Dave, the Irish connoisseur, will be interviewing Connie. So it's going to be a fascinating interview. Thank you so much, Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, yes. And Karen Cotton, our video technical director for today's wonderful show. Have a great Monday. God bless.
Is a production of Catholic Community Media.